It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, the list of accusations against Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein is growing by the day. Our guest says businesses need to do more to prevent sexual assault and harassment in the workplace.
First, the mass shooting last week in Las Vegas has reopened the political debate over gun control. But our next guest says we should also look at gun-related violence as a public health issue.
As an emergency room physician, he says treating gun deaths and injuries as a health issue can help us find ways to prevent future violence and limit the damage when it does happen.
Dr. Stephen Hargarten is professor and chair of the Department of Emergency Medicine and director of the Injury Research Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Hargarten, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, what changes when we think about gun violence as a public health issue? What does that mean?
Well, I think what physicians like myself and others and the nurses and the surgeons that take care of these patients, we reframe this as a biopsychosocial disease. The bio part of it is the gunshot wounds, the fractures, the bleeding organs, the brain damage, and we as physicians and nurses and surgeons bring biology to this event with, in this case, multiple patients. The psychosocial aspects are part of the treatment plans and other things as people survive or the families have to deal with these tragic events. And so if you frame it as a disease, it provides a platform for employing public health tools to prevent the injury event from occurring or lessen the severity if indeed it does occur. It's a useful way to frame these tragic events.
You've compared the lethality of gunshot wounds in some cases to diseases like Ebola. How do they compare?
Well, in a case like the Sikh shooting that I was involved with treating the survivors or the ones that resulted in surviving when we transported to the trauma center, the case fatality ratio of that Sikh event was about 70%. In other words, 70% of the people died and only 30%, three victims, survived. So that's a high case fatality ratio. That's a public health term. And in these mass shootings, the case fatality ratios tend to be very high. And a disease like Ebola has a high fatality ratio. If you get the Ebola virus, chances are very strong that you're going to perish, as opposed to the flu, which has a low case fatality ratio. If you get the flu, you'll get sick, but chances are you won't die.
As you've said, you've treated gunshot wounds as an emergency room physician, both in that horrible Sikh temple shooting and in the day-to-day shootings we hear about. In that emergency room, what are some of the things that are the most challenging about treating, on the physical side of things, the biological side of things, about treating a gunshot wound?
Well, the challenges are is doing things quickly assessing the scope of the injury, assessing the needs for immediate intervention, going to the operating room right away, or inserting chest tubes. So the resuscitation moments that occur as soon as a patient is seen by paramedics and then brought to the trauma center, these are critical minutes that make a difference in the outcome. Once those decisions are made, the patient's in the operating room or the intensive care unit, then expert nursing and care is undertaken to maximize the best outcome. And then if indeed there is a significant injury that results in a disability, spinal cord injury, complex fracture, then the rehabilitation physicians and nurses take over, again, to maximize outcomes. At Freightert, we have a clinical health psychologist who is an expert in managing the psychosocial aspects of this with interventions that help them manage their post-traumatic stress.
We're talking to emergency room physician Dr. Stephen Hargarten with the Medical College of Wisconsin, looking at treating gunshot wounds, gun violence, gun suicide as a public health problem. And Dr. Hargarten, you've talked and written in the past about specific changes you'd like to see to help prevent gun injuries and deaths and to minimize the damage. One thing you've talked about in the past and advocated on is the lethality of different kinds of ammunition for firearms. Can you talk about that?
Well, ammunition ranges from 22 caliber bullets all the way to 50 millimeter bullets for handguns to rifles that have significant mass and velocity, like the one used in Las Vegas. So the higher the mass, the higher the velocity, the greater the extent of injuries. Add hollow point bullets, that's an additional injury level for that kind of a projectile. So projectiles make a huge difference in the predictable outcomes of someone stricken by a bullet.
Right, those hollow point bullets and other kinds of ammunition, I don't fully understand it, but as I understand it, the way they impact and then shatter on contact with a target, human or otherwise, is part of what makes them so damaging and potentially lethal. Is that right?
Well, those ones that shatter are a different type of bullet that fragments upon impact of the victim. Hollow points open up in a predictable way. Some of them do fragment, but others simply open and add additional injury to the victim.
Is it your hope that we have some kind of controls on that kind of ammunition?
Well, I think that the one bullet that we did look at very carefully was a black talon bullet. And in that hollow point bullet, it had razor sharp talons. And we felt that this bullet was inappropriate for the civilian market. It was designed originally for the law enforcement market. And in that case, the black talons represented a hazard, not only to the patient, but also to the surgeons who are quickly trying to find the bleeding source and cut their fingers with the razor-sharp talons and expose themselves to viruses such as HIV and hepatitis. So looking at ammunition, we felt that the black talon was inappropriate for the civilian market.
And when it comes to preventing gun violence, gun injury, and gun death, what kind of changes would you like to see when we look at this again from a public health perspective? What interventions might work?
Well, we've seen that in certain areas around the United States, criminal background checks appear to be an effective way to reduce bad outcomes. Connecticut had strengthen their concealed weapon carrying, their criminal background policies, and that resulted in a decrease in homicides in their state. When Missouri abolished the requirements for a criminal background check for purchasing of a firearm, homicides went up. So it appears, and I think there's a broad acceptance of criminal background checks as a reasonable way to reduce the likelihood that an individual who is not permitted to have access to a gun reduces the likelihood that they're going to get one. It's not perfect, but that's an example. Second is changing the design of guns, where they're designed in a way that only the authorized user can use it. So if it's stolen, it can't be used. If it's taken by a despondent teenager, it can't be used because they're unauthorized, because the gun only permits the authorized user to use it. And that technology is currently present. A German company is manufacturing a personalized gun, and I think that's another hopeful strategy for reducing homicide, suicide, and unintentional firearm deaths.
Do you think we need more research on guns and violence as a public health issue? There's been some controversy about limits on organizations like the CDC in supporting gun research.
Well, if you think about what happened with HIV, think about what was going on in the 80s when people were dying of another biopsychosocial disease. And there was a lot of politics around the early days of HIV and AIDS. And with thoughtful, solid research with appropriate research funding, look what's happened. We are really made major strides in now what has become largely a chronic disease because of all the life-saving drugs that have been discovered through research and other interventions. So we have not had that same investment for related injuries and deaths. And I think we would benefit significantly by having a solid research agenda that looks at all aspects of this significant biopsychosocial disease.
We'll leave it there for now. Dr. Hargarten, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
That was Dr. Stephen Hargarten, emergency physician and professor and chair of the Department of Emergency Medicine and director of the Injury Research Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin.
Coming up, we'll find out what's needed to help victims of sexual harassment at the workplace and prevent future incidents after high-profile allegations involving Harvey Weinstein, Fox News, and Uber. Stay with us here on Central Time.